numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here today talking sports and sports betting with you, Gil Alexander.
You too, Kelly.
What
Bye,
a weekend.
Lon.
What a day.
What a time. I used to say, you know, people were like, hey, what's your favorite time of the sports calendar, or the sports betting calendar? I would always have the pat answer of October, where it's football during the weekends, baseball postseason during the week, in addition to the weekends. I'm like, that's the gold standard. I'm not so sure if this hasn't matched that for me.
It's right there for me.
Because there's, first of all, this week, golf and tennis is de facto fifth majors.
Mm-hmm.
TPC and golf, Indian Wells, tennis. We'll do a podcast on the tennis, on the beating the book side tomorrow for Indian Wells with Drew Dinsick. We'll pull him off the slopes to do that.
Yep.
Maybe we'll get Danny Weston in for that. But what else, you know, the other stuff that's actually going on, of course, March Madness on the horizon, but conference tournaments in full swing with the major conferences starting this week. We'll talk to Matt Cox about those from Three Man Weave momentarily. Jason Weingarten will join us from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Wes Reynolds will join us to talk both golf and college hoops. The NBA in the home stretch now, I guess we can call it the home stretch towards the postseason. It's all good. And there's so many things to talk about. We got to talk about the NFL draft movement later and at the number one position because we knew this was going to happen.
Nutty.
I'm just not so sure we knew it was going to happen to this degree.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We got to get to the Anthony Richardson Michigas that's going on. We'll talk about that later because I remain steadfast. I am actually going to double down on what I've already been doing, which we'll talk about.
JVT and I were on the desk live for the whole combine watching the odds move as Anthony Richardson does like each individual workout, and our heads were getting ready to explode. I mean, it's rebounded back a bit from where it was. Oh, man, did he get low this weekend.
Because I'll just say it, Kelly, listen, when you evaluate quarterbacks, I mean, I think everybody agrees it should be in this order. Broad jump one,
yep.
Vertical leap two,
yep.
Reading defenses three, accuracy four.
Don't forget about the 40, too.
Yes, I mean, it's just, oh, yeah, the 40. It's just ridiculous. Well, we'll get to that. I just want to start with a couple things. One, because we'll get to college basketball here next segment with Matt Cox, but the NBA and Ja Morant, this happened after we left on Friday, so this was early Saturday morning. This is potentially, I mean, I don't know how many people thought the Grizzlies were going to win at all, but they're certainly a team that you would qualify as a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And Ja Morant has gone off the has just gone nuts here. So there's a Instagram, there was an Instagram live with him brandishing a gun.
Yep.
So there was that. Now, if he had any sense of NBA history and any sense of Gilbert Arenas in a locker room, maybe he would know not to do that.
Okay, is that not like the first thing you thought of?
Exactly.
That's the first thing I thought of, right? Like, hey, there's kind of a history here in this sport with this problem.
But to openly do it on Instagram live reflects such a just detachment from right and wrong.
And like, reality.
Even
yes.
If you're doing that, have the sense, you shouldn't be doing it, but even if you are, have the sense not to do it on Instagram live, okay?
He's also in a club, right?
Shirtless dancing in a club, that's another story, that's another crime.
Yeah, but like, okay, I'm sorry, there's still a difference to me between
yes.
doing that and if he was in his home by himself.
Well, for sure.
Right?
For sure that. If you're in your living room by yourself, yes. But there's other stuff going on with him, right, too? There's a 17-year-old who claims that Ja Morant revealed a weapon in his waistband back at his place some time ago. And then there's the Indiana Pacers claiming that there was one of those red lights from a laser, you know, from
yep.
a gun, from a vehicle that Ja Morant was a passenger in. So he's missing two games minimum. And I guess the question is, are we sure he's only missing two games?
Nope.
Like, might he not? I know, listen, I didn't do this with Kyrie. Others did, because remember, we had some people on air like, Kyrie's never playing again. We didn't do that. But, like, this Ja Morant thing could have legs in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. Like, this is bad.
Oh, I mean, so I mean, I almost had to chuckle last night watching that game where they're kind of going through who's missing from the roster. And it's like, oh, John Moran out for this stuff. Dylan Brooks suspended because he's picked up too many technical fouls. I mean, we've talked about this all year, but this Grizzlies team, if they're really trying to pick up the moniker of the bad boys of the NBA, they're doing a great job at it so far.
Before we knew any of this, we're like, win something first before you guys act this way.
Exactly.
How many times have I come on here and joked, and the four-time champion Memphis Grizzlies, because the way they act is so on the court, forget about this stuff.
So I think the things we have to consider with this, Gil, is we know there's an NBA. What do we know? We know there's an NBA investigation going on. We know that the Grizzlies and Ja Morant have all both put out statements that they're handling stuff individually. So you could potentially have a situation where Ja Morant or Ja Morant's agent, you know, whatever, his people, basically tell him it'd be in his best interest for him to personally say he'll take some time off, right? That could happen. Mm-hmm. You could have the team decide to make a team suspension. You could have the NBA decide to make a suspension. So I'm with you. I don't think it's two games. I think we're likely looking at more here. And this is where the NBA can kind of get away with this stuff, Gil, right? Because how long do I think this could possibly go? I don't really know, but not into the playoffs.
Well, that was what I'm just thinking. I'm like, this could easily be a regular season thing. Maybe it'll affect their seeding, and then it'll be business as usual come playoff time. But I'd like Adam Silver to care about something besides just being friends with the players.
Yeah, me too.
And actually do something.
Me too.
I also want to do this sort of golf betting PSA. Because the Arnold Palmer Invitational was yesterday. By the way, this is why we have Wes on Mondays in the off-season of football, that is. Because there's nothing better in sports and sports betting than golf tournaments on Sundays, from a betting standpoint. It's phenomenal. And now where, you know, it's being rejiggered into bigger, you know, more prominent fields, bigger names in more tournaments, the way that it's moving forward.
Yep, those elevated events.
It only get bigger with these elevated events. But this, the Arnold Palmer Invitational came down, for those who missed it. And by the way, congratulations to Kurt Kitayama, who wins it by a stroke over Harris English and Rory McIlroy, but really it was a logjam of about seven and eight, if you include Hovland. Sorry about that, Kelly. Hovland sort of tailing off at the end.
Yeah.
I know you had him. But these guys were within one stroke of each other, seven or eight guys, down the stretch of this tournament. And so long shots, Kelly, Matt Brown, and Wes Reynolds do long shots of the podcast, which is great. And you guys are super successful with pre-flop futures. You had Hovland yesterday. I know Matt and Wes had English, too. You guys had him in some form.
Yeah, Wes had Rory, and then Matt also had a piece of Terrell Hatton.
Okay, sorry, I messed up. Not English, not Harris English. But you guys are, if you're not winning, if
Terrell
you're not—
Terrell Hatton is English,
though. Yeah, there you go.
Hey!
Hey. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your contribution. So if you guys are not winning these, it always appears as though you're circling it, like you're flirting with hitting a preflop. But this is for those who are like not maybe as big golf heads as those three guys, Wes, Kelly, and Matt. You can just sort of randomly show up for a golf tournament on Sunday, and no, you're not going to get the juicy, sexy long shot numbers that those guys get preflop before Thursday. However, you know, just take yesterday, and this is coming from someone who I barely broke even doing this yesterday, but it's sort of a PSA for golf betting, which is, I'm talking the last three holes.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about, like, the back nine even. Last three holes yesterday, you could get Scottie Scheffler at plus 250 when he was about to hit his approach shot on 16, I believe it was. And Scottie Scheffler at plus 250. I mean, if you believe in Scottie Scheffler to close out a golf tournament in which he's within one stroke of the lead versus, say, the Tigers on a Wednesday night in July at the Bronx to beat the Yankees, like that's the number you're dealing with here. Obviously, it's a bigger field in golf, and you had to get through more guys, but it's Scheffler. And I just, you know, he didn't get there. He ended up almost putting the ball in the drink on 18, had a shot at winning this tournament, had it on his club there for a moment. Could not get it done on 18 and ends up two strokes back. But that, to me, was a great bet at that moment, even.
Mm-hmm.
With 2.5 holes to go, betting him at plus 250, even though it didn't get there. That's not the point. The point is, I think there are bets that are there that are available to you that are really good. Now, by the way, here's how I got that money back that I bet on Scheffler, and just a couple dollars for me. Kurt Kitayama, again, in a at a crowded leaderboard that included not only Harris English, but big names like McIlroy and Scheffler.
Yep.
Hatton. He was the approach shot on 18. At that moment, right before the approach shot. So at that point, it was him and really English and McIlroy in the clubhouse with the same score. So if he birdies there, he's the winner of the golf tournament. If he birdies or if he pars.
Pars,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, birdie gets it done too, but yeah.
Birdie gets it done too, but if he pars, right? So was he a stroke up? He was a stroke
just
up at that point.
Stroke up on those two.
On those two who were in the clubhouse. What do you think his number was before the approach shot? Kurt Kitayama with English and Rory in the clubhouse, one stroke behind him.
When you first asked me this question yesterday, I thought minus 120.
He was minus 145, and I couldn't believe it.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, this guy has to hit basically one good approach shot and then two putt, and you're a winner. I'm betting it, minus 145. And again, this is not to say, because I only made a few pennies. But this is to say, these opportunities exist at the very end of a golf tournament. And here was my question to you. If the situation was reversed and it was Harris English and Kurt Kitayama in the clubhouse, but Rory McIlroy was the one with the approach shot, what would that minus 145 have been?
Minus 250.
I'm going to say minus 300 almost, maybe. Maybe you're right, minus 250. The point is that there's also those kind of biases inherent in a golf market as well. Oh, the name is not the guy that has to do this. So, again, you know, it's not as sexy as hitting a 40-to-1 or an 80-to-1 or whatever you guys are hitting preflop, but just sort of the PSA for golf betting on a Sunday. There's no sport that is set up like this, right? And over 4 days and this many players and the opportunities exist at the very end.
It's amazing.
It is nirvana. It's betting nirvana.
I've got a tour rage. Can I rage on the tour when we get back?
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to that. Matt Cox, three-man weave, college hoops on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM, with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. Then you stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes, and then you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's that easy. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 45 seconds with Kelly Bidlin railing against the PGA Tour.
Hey, Gil, did you have a good time watching the end of that golf tournament yesterday, just as a sports fan?
Sure did.
Right, you had the big names near the top. You had Harris English there, who's been a great comeback story on the PGA Tour. You had Kurt Kitayama, who was just waiting to break through on the tour. Does it at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. This season's been going so well with these designated events. You got the big names up there. You got these new guys. We're seeing Eric Cole at the Honda Classic last week. And all these elevated events have been so fun and so great. And over on the LIV Tour, you got clowns like Charles Howell III winning. Their TV ratings are trash. But no, the PGA Tour still has to go and try to change their format, Gil, to match LIV because they think they got to compete with these guys when they don't. So I hope everybody enjoyed yesterday because the Kurt Kitayamas of the world are not going to be around for these tournaments next year. Don't worry, Rory. You might have missed yesterday, but next year, the Tour's got it all set up for you to be right in place to go and win because, God forbid, we see some dark horse guy come out of nowhere to win a PGA Tour event. Shorten the field. We only got to have big names that can win, Gil. I'm mad as a golf fan, and I'm mad as a golf bettor. It's trash. It's garbage. PGA Tour, reevaluate this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what a gasket is, but I believe I just saw one get blown.
It's crazy.
I've been saying all along, I go, you can say what you want about LIV, and yes, the Saudi ties and people taking the money and how that rubs people wrong. There's the understatement of all time. But you know what LIV did? They made the PGA Tour change.
Made them change.
And they made their point in that respect.
They made their point. But the PGA Tour somehow doesn't realize they're winning right now. Yep. They're winning.
Yep.
You don't need to change.
Well, you know what gets me mad every week? But I'll do it a little calmer. Why do these coaches continue not to foul up three? And I say this for American University. Upper Northwest Washington, D.C. is a stone's throw from the Maryland border. What are you doing against Lafayette? Oh, you're up three in overtime. Sure, don't foul. You know what happens when you do that with 4 seconds left? You don't foul?
What 11, happens,
11 and 22, Lafayette hits a three and then beats you in double overtime?
Oh, of course that's what happens. That stuff is so annoying. God. It is so annoying.
Shout out to Mike Woodson, though, for Indiana. He fouled up three against Michigan, and guess how that turned out? Lickety split, they win.
There you go, Mike.
That's how you do it. Indiana beats Michigan 75-73. By the way, how great is the Big Ten tournament? It's funny, though, because the Big Ten tournament, you want to, you know, so we've already said logjam once on the show when talking about the top of the leaderboard at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. This is the most logjammiest of all conferences ever. In second place, it was like a mess of teams that had like eight losses, pardon me, going into yesterday. And my goodness, how do you bet this tournament? Do you bet this tournament because it is so random? Matt Cox from Three Man Weave joins us. How you doing, Matt?
Gil, fantastic. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. I mean, let's start right there. Is there a bet in the Big Ten tournament where, you know, if you look at the odds right now, let's just cherry pick a few here at the top at the Big Ten tournament. But it's, I don't know, you got Purdue at plus 140, Indiana plus 550, Maryland 6-1, Michigan State 6-1, Northwestern plus 850. You're six teams deep before you get to Illinois in double digits at 11-1. Is there a bet here, or is it just too random?
It is random, but I do like Illinois. I know Penn State's hot, and they've dominated them the regular season, so it's kind of a funny first-round draw for the Illini. But I think they're better. And they got Northwestern, who, while at some point you have to tip your cap and treat them as a legitimate threat in this conference, I think they're the weakest of those top four seeds that got the double bye. So I'm looking at Illinois here, anything around 12, closer to 15-1 if you shop. I thought I saw a few 15-1s hanging out there. But they got Northwestern waiting on deck, and then whoever comes out of that brutal Indiana, Maryland, I mean, even Nebraska out of the play-in rounds playing well lately, too. I mean, you could see them making a, you know, kind of a fluky or not so fluky run to the quarters. I'm looking at Illinois here, anything 12-1 or better.
Okay. By the way, eight losses in conference for all those teams I'm talking about in second place, not overall. Obviously, bigger tournaments begin. We'll get to today and all the quarter, semis, and championship games and some of the smaller conferences that take place tonight. We'll get to those in a minute. But ACC begins tomorrow. A-10 begins tomorrow. ACC Duke at plus 280. The Wahoos of UVA at 3-1. Miami plus 340. Dayton and VCU, the short shots in the A-10. Big West is UC Irvine and UC Santa Barbara. Any thoughts in those conferences for a bet, or are you steering clear of those three?
Best bet on the board is Duke. You could argue it's just better value to continue to bet them game to game, round to round. But I just think that effort against UNC solidified that they're starting to really round into form. I think on the defensive end is where I had questions. They look all the way legit. I mean, just the way they competed on the glass in that game. And then the way their guards are playing. I mean, Roach is starting to look like that guy we saw last year, Mark, that really carried Duke down the stretch, but they didn't have a ton of help. And then Tyrese Proctor is really starting to come together. They're getting some good minutes from the bigs up front. Lively looks spry. I mean, Duke's still rated around 30th in KenPom. I mean, they haven't made a big jump in any of the analytic markets, and obviously the betting markets are shading it more. You know, they have them probably higher rated in, like, the top 20. I think it's a top 10 team that has top five upside as Mark plays fourth. I'm looking at Duke there. The A-10 is such a crapshoot. I have nothing in that one at all. And then the other ones I'm still looking at a little deeper right now. But I think Duke, if you have to play something right now pre-flop, as opposed to playing game-to-game, round-to-round with the money line rollover, I think Duke's the one that could have value, because their value could quickly erode as they start to, you know, put together one or two really good games. You could see them being priced, you know, in the clouds by the time the bracket comes out Selection Sunday.
All right, ACC, Atlantic 10, Big West, also the Metro Atlantic and the WAC begin tomorrow. Wednesday, in addition to the Big Ten, which we've already talked about, Big East, where UConn is 2-1, Marquette 3-1, Creighton 3-1, Xavier plus 550, Big 12 tips off on Wednesday, where Kansas at 3-1 is the short shot, but Texas plus 330, Baylor plus 475, DraftKings numbers right behind that. Conference USA, the MEAC, the Mountain West, where San Diego State's plus 150, Boise State plus 340, Utah State plus 380, and the Pac-12, of course, UCLA plus 110, Arizona plus 210, and the SEC, Alabama plus 150, Tennessee 3-1, Kentucky plus 450, and A&M 5-1. Those among the conferences that tip off on Wednesday. Anything you like in any of those?
Washington State's my favorite bet of the conference futures. They are trending in the right direction. I think they've won 5 or 6 in a row. It's a coach I like, Kyle Smith. He's been there for the last 2 years. Their record doesn't indicate, I think, how strong of a team they've been. They've been on the wrong side of a lot of close games, had a ton of injuries. Just the way their draw shakes out, the fact that their, you know, their odds are comparable to Utah, who has to maybe face Arizona in the second round versus Washington State, who has a much better draw there in the middle of the bracket. I think they're my favorite bet. I think they're every bit as good as, you know, that second class, that second tier in the Pac-12. They've already beaten Arizona once this season. They should have beaten UCLA at home. Their size up front, their physicality matches up well with both those teams. I think they're the best value on the board of any of the conferences you just rattled off, especially you just given the form that they're in, the matchup potential, the way those set up, and then again, the fact you compare their odds with, you know, a team like Utah, who I know just got healthier, but the discrepancy in those odds make no sense to me. I think Washington State's the best play of that group.
A lot of love, anecdotally, for Wazoo, 11-1 Pac-12 tournament, which tips off on Wednesday. Today, we clean up some of the other smaller conferences. We have a couple Big Sky quarters, a couple Colonial semis, Horizon semis, Southland semis, Summit semis, and then a couple championship games in the Southern between Furman and Chattanooga. Furman escapes Western Carolina yesterday. And the Sun Belt as well, South Alabama and Louisiana. Oh, a couple West Coast Conference semis, of course, right here in Vegas. Don't want to sleep on those. What do you like today?
Like a couple here. I mean, at South Alabama, we've seen these teams that just absolutely get red hot from the middle of the pack of the seeding, and they just turn into a different team. You know, we saw Texas State. You know, they lost last night by 6, but they did cover. Who else just made that those magical runs? And those teams, anecdotally to me, are just great bets, especially in March when I think the current form really starts to matter a little bit. So South Alabama, I think I'm looking at as a small play there. They're catching a 1.5, 2 maybe at some shops. So I'm going to get to the market on that one, but I do like South Alabama and the Jags to keep it going. The other one I'll throw in here real quick is I like both of the Summit League favorites, specifically South Dakota State. They're just a different team right now, and they were awesome to start the year. The first 2 weeks had a ton of injuries. They brought a couple of key guys back. Laying 4 against an in-state rival, I think they get it done today pretty convincingly. Lay the 4 here with the Jack Bunnies.
All right, South Dakota State, Summit Semi, laying the points against North Dakota State, and then in Pensacola, Florida for the Sun Belt Championship. South Alabama for Matt Cox from Three Man Weave. Thank you, Matty.
Thank you, Val. Good luck.
At Matty underscore Cox, that's Matty with a Y, at 3MW underscore CBB for all of Three Man Weave's plays through conference tournament season and beyond. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today to get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19, whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread. Our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets, tools like our exclusive betting splits, plus our Big Dance bracket and betting guides. These guides feature in-depth breakdowns of all 68 teams, Cinderella selections, bracket predictions, and picks on every tournament game from VSiN experts like Brent Musburger and Greg Hoops Peterson. His middle name is Hoops. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19. $19, that's it. VSiN.com/subscribe. Cannot wait. We have breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that sound means. Kelly Bidlin, breaking news. What you got?
Ian Rappaport reporting that the Saints are close to a deal with Derek Carr. Derek Carr to the Saints. It won't be a trade. It will be a free agent signing. Appears that should be official any minute now, but they're using the words close to a deal.
I want you to now lean in and listen to my reaction to this amazing breaking news story. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Here we go. That's my reaction. Nonplussed, as I think most people are. Listen, Derek Carr's, the market for Derek Carr was tepid at best, and Dennis Allen and him overlapped in Oakland, so this was the comfortable spot for him. They coveted him, and I think this was probably the people that wanted him the most, and here's how you know that that nonplussed reaction is an accurate one. The betting market will move not at all.
Not at all.
It won't move an iota.
Now, you can say that about Derek Carr. I'll say that if you're the New York Jets, you better go get Aaron Rodgers. Because mm-hmm. I think he would have been a bigger impact on the New York Jets than what he's going to be on the Saints. The Saints, I don't know what you're doing. You and I have talked about it. This is you just put Taysom Hill back
what
there.
What happened to the Tookus Push offense?
To the Tookus Push offense until they banned the thing. Why are you bringing in a real quarterback you're paying money for? Come on.
We had big plans for you, New Orleans Saints. Now it's all gone by the wayside. I don't mean to be hard on Derek Carr. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. He's certainly passionate. But Derek Carr is a fully formed quarterback. And what is that? As I've said many times, Derek Carr will get you stats, assuming he has receivers, which, you know, we'll see what the story is in New Orleans with that. But he just makes suboptimal late-game decisions time and time again. You're getting what, you know, it is what it is, as the kids say. And I just don't – when some of my Washington fan friends were like, oh, we should get Derek Carr, I was like, no, you don't want to do that. So for me, I'm just thankful that that's not an option.
Are Derek Carr and John Gruden still neighbors out here?
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
What a great idea at the time that now seems very awkward.
Man. Ladies and gentlemen, you know who had Kurt Kitayama this weekend? Not only pre-flop, but in-game for a juicy number as well in tournament? This guy.
Nice.
From under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, wearing a white hoodie. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Up early after a nice win yesterday, but can't complain.
Jason Weingarten, by the way, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. Let me just ask you something. So what were your numbers on Kitayama?
Yeah, because I've seen
mid 200s pre flop, as you say, 99-1 in game, down to 10-1. I will say though that I did punt a little bit back on Sunday afternoon with Rory and everybody on his heels. You know, you feel better. You know, you throw a couple $100 on the trailers, and I still made a lot of money, but you know, just in for accuracy, I did punt a little bit back just to have some peace of mind down the stretch.
What does Jason Weingarten do when he makes that kind of skrilla? What do you do immediately with that money?
I wish I could do my bit. Hold on.
Yeah, there's a bit coming.
Do your bit.
Bit alert,
yeah,
everybody.
We could film.
I don't have it next to me. I was going to say, pull out of, let's see, hold on.
Oh, he's going under the desk. He's going under the desk.
I didn't know he had a bit prepared.
I bought a Ferrari.
Oh, here we go.
Can you see?
Yeah!
I bought a Ferrari.
There you go. It's kind of, for those of you a little, was that a Matchbox car? What was that?
Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. Pardon me. I don't want to sell the Hot Wheels people short.
I bought a Ferrari.
I bought a Ferrari because he texted me yesterday. He goes, I'm going to buy some baseball cards. But no, he had a bit ready. Good for you, man. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
The other thing that you, and I'm going to say this, and I really believe this, you impacted the market this week. I believe you came on this show last week and you talked very passionately. We did a whole thing about American League MVP. We talked about NL Rookie of the Year, and you talked about your NL Rookie of the Year pick. And that market moved, didn't it, this weekend? And obviously, it had to do with his performance. But explain to people who it is we're talking about in St. Louis and then why that happened, you think.
Jordan Walker, he's one of the big producers in the Grapefruit League to start the year. He looks really good, especially when you consider he's only 20 years old. And, you know, the Cardinals have kind of made it known that they're giving him an opportunity to win not only a roster spot, but a starting job on that team. You know, normally a rookie, you would give him at-bats at the bottom of the lineup, maybe send him to the minor league camp, you know, midway through spring training. But Walker's kind of batting near the top of the Cardinals lineup every day. The Cardinals are giving him every opportunity to, you know, earn a spot on the roster. And he's, you know, he had two home runs this weekend. I think he had two home runs on Saturday. He has three for spring training so far. So he's taking advantage of the opportunity given to him. And, you know, it's pretty clear that he should be one of the favorites already. And similarly to Julio Rodriguez last year, he was priced like he probably wasn't going to make the roster, which I thought was incorrect, and he's proving that. So, you know, his odds have adjusted.
And they've adjusted to what, 5-1 I saw at William Hill, and even shorter at the Westgate?
Yeah, 5-1, little under 5-1, I think, at the Westgate, 7-2, I think, co-favorite. Don't forget, Corbin Carroll is no slouch. He's one of the other co-favorites, potential rookie of the year. But Jordan Walker.
You would not recommend
the attention right now.
No more bets than at this price. You would not bet Jordan Walker at this point.
If you could find like a 7-1 or maybe a 6-1, I would probably take a little bit of it still. But under 5, no. I mean, you know, remember, you're locking this money up till November. So
yeah,
a lot of things can happen and could happen, and injuries. And, you know, I don't necessarily think, you know, you should be betting 5-1 when it was over 10-1 or 14-1.
That's the thing about all baseball futures. Man, does it stay in that account for a long time. I mean, and especially with baseball then dragging out the awards to like Thanksgiving, it's like a 7 to 8 month thing. You're like, oh, get this out of my account. Okay. The other thing we talked about, I mentioned AL MVP, and you said, hey, look, Yordan Alvarez, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a lot of value on those two players. You have thought about a third player now, one of Alvarez's teammates.
Yeah, so one thing to point out, you know, my love of Yordan Alvarez is very well known. He is, in my opinion, the best power hitter in baseball. Problem is he still hasn't swung a bat in spring training, and he is prone to injuries and prone to having to take a week off or 10 days off with, you know, sort of ailments. And as much as I love him, and, you know, I also bet Vlad Jr., and you saw Vlad Jr. tweaked his knee and is out of the World Baseball Classic now, unfortunately. I really love Jose Abreu. I've loved him for a long time. I'm a big fan of his as a baseball player. He was 150-1. I know Eli Hershkovich, whose podcast I've been on before, bet him at circa 150-1 and mentioned him before I did, but that did get my attention, and I was able to get 125-1. So in this case, I didn't actually get the best number. Unfortunately, somebody else did. But in any event where Yordan Alvarez misses an extended period of time like he has in the past, I think we're kind of just overlooking Jose Abreu just a slight amount, you know. Teammate Jeremy Pena has lower odds than him. I don't think that's correct, you know, especially he's a former MVP. He's an incredibly talented baseball player, and I think maybe he just needed a change of scenery from the White Sox for people to recognize his immense talent.
And for those who are just landing on this for the first time, Jason, like, what's your outlay on these season-long plays?
You mean like total amount bet?
Not total amount bet. I'm just talking about percentage-wise versus, say, I don't know, something you'd bet on a game where you feel like you have an edge on.
I think I keep sort of the not necessarily keep the bankroll separate, but my futures portfolio is a completely separate sort of entity from my day-to-day betting. So I don't like compare apples to oranges. It's just a thing with futures, like the function of the market, especially with the legal books and the, you know, different states and the ability to get down, you know, creatively. You can get a lot down on futures now that was not necessarily possible.
Let me try this. Same amount on 125-1 as you are on, say, the rookie of the year bet, or less?
I try to get as much down on the long shots as possible. I think one of the mistakes people make is betting too little on long shots.
I agree.
I'm always trying to you know, pump up the volume.
Pump up the volume, Kelly. A little musical reference from Jason Weingarten. We had a bit. We had a musical reference. World Baseball Classic begins tomorrow. That is a bit of baseball betting nirvana. Jason's got thoughts on that. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. And then once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Jason Kelly and I were talking off air in between segments about how Dan Hicks and Paul Azinger on the call, but specifically Dan Hicks at the end of the Arnold Palmer Invitational yesterday, Kurt Kitayama needed to two-putt once he hit the approach shot on the green. And his first putt, this is, remember, now Jason's got a 250-to-1 or and a 99-to-1 or whatever he had on this. The first putt was like Tiger on 16 at the Masters, where it was right on the lip. And you thought that maybe it would take one more, you know, turn or just move just a little more and fall into the hole. And Kitayama was just sort of giving it a chance to do that. And Hicks went into the, oh, he better get up there. He's got 10 seconds to do it.
It could be a penalty stroke.
So Kelly, you said, what was your thing? Because we talked about on tennis when there's a walkover.
Yes.
That there, we should actually have the person who advances in the tournament literally walk over. Like the person who's quitting should have to lie down on the surface, and the winner should actually physically walk over that person.
That's right.
You thought with Kitayama they should do
I wish there was like an NBA type of like official for the PGA Tour that ran in with like an aggressive charge call or something, like 10 seconds, like penalty stroke, move it out.
What kills me about that is, and this is like, would they ever do this? But like, would Dan Hicks have said that if it was Rory on the live, like, what really do you think they would do? Would force the 10 seconds if that was Rory?
No, I don't.
If
think
Kurt
so.
Kitayama break. Jason Weingarten still with us. How you doing, Jason? I'm glad you won your bets, man. That must have been awesome.
Thank you. I felt like I was due. I had had a lot of second places, especially I had Kitayama in most of his second places. So, and I missed. I had a big MLB parlay earlier this week. Did a bunch of overs early in the week in spring training, missed it by one game. It was like 25-to-1 or something. So I was really looking for a big win. I got it.
Wait,
so that's
nice. So hold on. Before we get to the World Baseball Classic, let's dive into that for a second. So what was your – was there any strategy to that? Did you know lineups, or are you just – I'm blanket overing these?
I was just early in the week, wanted to get some action, looked like the scoring had been pretty high in Florida, so I just put like 6 or 7 games together, and they all got there except one, as is known to happen. So, you know,
okay,
it was unfortunate.
Are you betting this every day?
Yeah, I'm doing spring training every day. It's one of the reasons I get up early. It's actually one of my favorite times of year is right around now, because you get the spring training, and on the West Coast, it's nice and easy doing Florida in the mornings.
Do you
subscribe? But I gotta say that the spring training's been a little interesting. I have two types of plays that I normally play during spring training. The first you'd probably classify as model plays, you know, when you're looking at lineups and pitching, you know, projected pitchers. Those have been doing fine, as they usually do. Then there's the situational stuff that you just kind of pick up from years and years of watching spring training. And typically that stuff crushes, just like reflexively I know what to bet. And this year it has not been nearly as easy, probably hitting like 35-40% on those plays through the first couple weeks. So I have noticed some differences this year. It is kind of interesting.
To the person who says, if I just blanket bet every dog in Grapefruit and Cactus League games every day for a certain amount, I'll come out on top. You would say to them what?
You know, maybe you're looking at something I'm not, but it just kind of looking through my bets real quickly. I see them on my screen over here on the left. I've bet very few dogs this year, so
you just got to know. You got to figure out what the lineups are. If you can figure that out, that's the key to all of this, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can get value, but I wouldn't necessarily. I wouldn't think that just blindly betting every dog every day would be a profitable strategy.
I wouldn't either. I've heard people say that, and I'm just like, well, just figure out the lineups, and then you'll be well ahead of the game. Pick those.
Typically, by the time people are saying things like that, those things don't work anymore, too.
Yep. That's a very good point. World Baseball Classic begins tomorrow, the 2023 version of the World Baseball Classic. What is this, the third World Baseball Classic, Jason? Is that what this is?
Third or fourth.
We lost track. Dominican Republic is the short shot, plus 210. USA plus 250. Japan plus 275. Everybody else double digits, not listed on the screen. Israel, chas v'chalila that we should be listed on the screen, my God. Sorry, Jason.
Should be listed on the screen. Yes. I mean, hey, if they win two games, I wish there was an over-under for wins for teams. Yeah, what would you make, Israel? One flat, maybe?
I'd go 1.5 just to be, you know.
Well, it'd be like 1.5 with heavy juice, because you assume they're going to beat like Nicaragua or something, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
This will be the fifth World Baseball Classic.
Fifth?
Yes.
Fifth.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
That's unbelievable. Because 2017 was the first, so they've crammed in five? This is the fifth?
No. They were doing this when I was in college. Oh. I remember.
Yeah, they're the first one in 06.
Oh, that's the one I forgot about. Yeah. Okay, that's the one that'll get you. Okay, so you are about to submit a big piece on the World Baseball Classic at VSiN.com. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, so first, got to keep in mind a couple things. This is a baseball tournament, but it's also March, so there's a lot of rules on pitchers and how you can use them. So, for example, in the first round, you get 65 pitches maximum from your starter, you know, in the pool play round. Goes up to 80 in the quarterfinals and then 95 in the semifinals and finals. And a lot of these pitchers, especially the guys, you know, the aces, the well-known guys, you know, there's sort of an agreement. The teams know that the player they need pitchers. The clubs know that the national teams need pitchers, but can't really overuse these guys or abuse them too much, especially this early in the season. So there's a whole bunch of rules. Like if a pitcher throws 50 pitches, he needs at least 4 days of rest before he can pitch again. If you throw 30 pitches, you need at least 1 day until you can pitch again. So there's a whole lot of strategic, you know, stuff that goes into, can you use this guy now? Do you want to wait till tomorrow? You know, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of that comes into play. But for me, I think the value in this tournament, in the first couple rounds at least, is in the Group A and the Group B pools, which is the Tokyo pools. And mainly I think that there's a couple mispricings, but a big one is the Taiwan national team being, you know, the fourth favorite or something to win Group A. I think that's way too high.
What's the number?
Hold one second. I'm pulling it up right here. At DraftKings, you got 8-1. At Circa, you got +560. I just don't understand how you can get Taiwan 8-1 playing in Tokyo, which is a 3-hour flight from Taiwan. They're undefeated in exhibition play. And they're playing teams like the Netherlands. The Netherlands has a fine lineup. No disrespect to their, you know, their lineup, but Netherlands doesn't have a single pitcher that I can, you know, think of off the top of my head that's close to major league caliber. Italy has some fringe relievers, and again, no disrespect to all these players that are playing for their countries, but I just think Taiwan is a much more cohesive team full of professionals who play in the Taiwanese baseball league, whereas the Netherlands and Italy, they're just kind of teams full of fringe major leaguers, career minor leaguers, guys who are playing, you know, in the national competition level. If anyone's gonna give Cuba a run for their money and win Pool A, it's gonna be Taiwan, not Netherlands or Italy. And if they don't win the pool at 8-1, I still think 3-1 to advance is a very generous price.
There's a bit of a home field advantage to Chinese Taipei as well there.
A little bit. It's not necessarily a massive home field advantage as opposed to just a travel advantage. Yeah. Even, you know, Cuba, Italy, Netherlands, Panama too. It's the other side of the world for them. It's not easy to play baseball on the other side of the world, even if you get a couple nights sleep.
All right, so 8-1 Group A on Chinese Taipei. Is there any other bet you like?
Yeah, I like Japan at the Circa number -420 to win the group.
Group B.
I think there's probably some people who think South Korea might be able to beat Japan head to head.
So I was going to ask.
I'm
you
not
about
one of them. I think Japan could possibly be undefeated going into the semifinals or the finals. They're just heads and shoulders above everybody else in their pool. It's not even close.
Okay. So for those who are like, hey, I want to take a flyer on Korea to win it all at 12-1, you would say no?
I would say go and look at their exhibition games. I think they just lost one yesterday, too.
Okay.
Another one.
30 seconds, Jason. Anything else?
No, not much.
Okay.
Just excited to say what?
No, those two. Okay. You're excited to watch this thing. I know. I am too.
Yeah,
man.
Excited to get some competitive baseball going, you know. The best players in the world, more or less, are showing up for this tournament. So you still get Trout, Otani, Ronald Acuna, all those guys. It's going to be a good week.
It's going to be awesome. Love that. Throw in the World Baseball Classic to how great this time of year is. Thank you.
And we got the Kenya Open, too. Don't forget that.
You made your picks there yet or not yet?
Nah, too early. It's Monday morning, but one of my favorite events.
Sorry, guys. No Kenya Open picks this morning. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. At Spreadopedia. Coming back, we got to look at this NFL draft at the top and the Anthony Richardson saga next.